Hof Kislev, 14th of November, Rabbi Daniel Baron, Insights of the Sfas Emes, the Human Sulam.
To walk in at the end of a shir on Tichla Regel Menashuk. We're already in the mood of Hanukkah, and I know that in my neighborhood I live in Yerushalayim, so the question was asked, when you're allowed to light, like what's the latest you can light? How long are people in the street? And the answer, where I live, like the city which I come from, which is New York City, the city that ever sleeps, is all night long. Baruch Hashem, you know, in Yerushalayim we've got the Yidden coming home from their night seder, and then pretty shortly thereafter, the people going to their chavrusas before Vasikin, and it's pretty much non-stop. You could light menorah any time at night. Anyways, good morning. The topic today is Sula Mutzav Arza Vereshei Magiyah Shamayim. I'd like to share with you an insight of the Sfas Emes, which starts out as something that looks like a pirush on the parsha, but really ends up being a message that's relevant to each and every one of us. So it says in the pasuk, "Vayachalom, v'hine sulo mutzav arza v'roishe magia hashamayma, v'hine malachei elokim oylim v'yodin boi." So Yaakov Avinu goes, he has this dream before he goes into Galus. This is now the point in time where Yaakov Avinu is preparing to go to Haran. And he's going to, you know, until then, Rashi tells us that he was in the yeshiva of Shein and Aver. He's doing everything that he can to get the spiritual tools to enable him to cope with what's going to be a crooked environment. The environment of Galus, Haran, the place where his family got stuck on the way to Eretz Yisrael. Terach left Ur Kasdim, and he went Laleches Arza Kanan. But Terach never made it. He got there in Haran, and he got stuck in Haran, and that's where he died. Avraham Avinu was able to take the mission. He was able to continue the charge of Lech Lecha and reach Eretz Yisrael. So now Yaakov Avinu has to go back to this very place that was the downfall of what could have been his great grandfather's, you know, greatest accomplishment. He's going back to Haran, and here he has a dream. He has a dream of a Sulu Mutzav Arza. Now the interesting thing is that this ladder, which is standing on the ground and whose top reaches the heavens, it says about it that Malachei Elokim Oylim V'Yordim Boi. The Malachim of Hashem are ascending and descending on it. What does the word it mean? So the Pashas, the simple explanation is that the it refers to the Sula. Right? The angels are going up and down the Sulam. This is the way that we learned it in God. However, the Medrash and the Zohar brings a machlokas. Rabbi Chiya bar Rabbi Yanai, Chad Amar Oylem V'Yordim B'Sulam, V'Chad Omar Oylem V'Yordim B'Yaakov. The Malachi Elokim were going up and down Yaakov. That is absolutely astounding. Because according to this, the Sulam in the Chalom, the dream that Yaakov has when he's about to go into Golus, is Yaakov himself. Yaakov is a ladder. He is a bridge between Shemayim and Oretz. What does this mean? What does that mean that Yaakov, the Malachi Elokim, are going up and down Yaakov? How do we understand this? So the Sfas Emes adds an insight which at first glance makes things a little more difficult. The Sfas Emes says as follows. This is on Parshas Vayetze, Shnas Tov Resh Nun Gimel. He says, Sula Mutzav Arza, Nira Shehu Remez Al Madregis Yaakov Shenikra Charkach Yisrael. He says, this appears to be an allusion to the stature of Yaakov, who later on is also called Yisrael. Shem Yaakov, Shem Yaakov Mutzav Arza. The name Yaakov is standing on the ground, Yud Akev. And the head that reaches the heavens is the name Yisrael Li Rosh. What does this mean? That Yaakov is a ladder. The Mutzav Arza is the name Yaakov. The Rosh Magia Shemaima is the name Yisrael. And what is the Sfas Emes coming to reveal here? What is going on? So the Sfas Emes basically says as follows. You know, a human being is a hybrid creature. Chas v'shalom to say that man is just a high-functioning animal. Adrabah. There's an aspect of us that's certainly earthly, that's certainly physical, but there's also an aspect of every single human being, which is Reishoy Magia Shemayim. The Medrash says that when Hashem created the world, there was a need for parity. It says that Kol Mashata Roya told Hashemayim Ba'aretz Heim. Shemayim Bereishis Bar Elokim Es Hashemayim Ves Ha'aretz. Everything you see is the offspring of heaven and earth. And it goes through the creation of the Medrash. Basheni, on the second day, Bara Esel Min Aliyonim. Hashem created something from the heavens. Shenemar Vayomer Elokim Yehi Rakia. Hashem said there should be a sky. Bashlishi Bara Min HaTachtonim. On the third day, Hashem created something from the lower worlds. Vayomer Elokim Tadshei Ha'aretz. The land should give off its grass, its produce, its shrubbery. Baravi, Baram and Elyonim. On the fourth day, Hashem created something from the worlds above. Bayomer Lekimihima Oros, Hashem created the luminaries. Bachamishi, on the fifth day, Baram and Atachtonim. He created something from the lower realms. Bayomer Lekim Yishvitu Amayim. The waters should crawl with all types of creatures. Now there was a need for parity, because everything is evenly matched, Shemayim and Aretz. Now I get to Friday. Bashishi bo liboros es ha'odom. On the sixth day, Hashem came to create man. Omar, he said, "Im ani boirei oisai mena elyonim, if I create man from the upper worlds, achshav ha'elyonim rabban la'atachtonim. The upper worlds will have a majority, have an advantage over the lower worlds." Why that's a problem is a separate topic, but it is. Probably would remove Bechira. Birya achas, they'll have one additional creature. Ve'ein shalom ba'olam, there'll be no peace. If I create man from the lower realms, the lower realms would have one creature above the upper realms. There's no peace. I will create man from the upper realms and the lower realms. Bishvil shalom, for peace. And that's what it means when it says Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Es Ha'odem Vayitzer. He created us with two yuds. It was a yud for his life in this world and a yud for Chaye Olam Haba Min Ha'Elyonim. So man is this hybrid creature. The message is, and we'll have to understand this better, that a human being, and the Ikur Tzuras Adam, Yaakov Avinu, is a Sula Musa Mutzav Arza. He's a ladder whose feet are on the ground. V'Reisha Magia Shemayim. You know, in the Gemara, there's an absolutely astounding and bizarre question. The Gemara asks the following. It's a Gemara in Menachos. It says, "Matza ken bereishoy shel odom mahu." There's a din called kan sivur. You have to, if you find, you want to take the eggs from a nest, you send away the mother bird, and you could take the eggs. And there's a din that it has to be al ha'adoma. It has to be something that's been a hefker. There's a whole bunch of different rules. And one of them is it's called on the ground. So the Gemara asks the following question. What happens if you find a nest on top of somebody's head? I don't know about you. I've never seen this before. I've never come across it. And this is one of those Gemaras where, you know, the neon lights flash, door shiny. There's obviously a deeper meaning here. So it goes back and forth and says what the din is if you find a nest on someone's head. And it concludes at the end of the day that it is not b'shamayim, it's ala hadama, and it brings a pasuk va'adama ale rosho, and it's as if you found it on the ground. This is a bizarre enough question. Then the Gemara asks the next question, which seems to have absolutely nothing to do with the previous thing. The next question the Gemara asks is Moshe min haTorah minayim. What's the remez from Moshe Rabbeinu from the Torah? What does one thing have to do with another? Now, okay, you say, you could just say they darshan the same thing in the base medrash at the moment. But, you know, the darshan rishum goes understand better. So this is not my question. The Maharal asks this question. And the Maharal essentially explains as follows, with a little extra color added by my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal. He says as follows. What's the question about matzah ken b'roisha shel adam? It's essentially a question about the nature of a human being. What is a person? A person is created min ha'elyonim u'min ha'tachtonim, from the lower realms and the upper realms. Now, what is he really? If he's min ha'shamayim, if he's truly a completely spiritual being, then you cannot have a kan sipar because it's not al ha'adam. So therefore, the Gemara asks, what is he really? What's at the end of the day? What is he considered? Is he an earthly being? Is he a spiritual being? So the Gemara answers that for purposes of Shiluach HaKen, for that mitzvah, he's considered as if he's on the ground. He's a Sulam Mutzav Arza. Then the Gemara asks the following question. The Maharal explains, Moshe Rabbeinu min HaTorah Minayin. Wait a second. If a human being is essentially a physical being, what's the source in the Torah for Moshe? Everything in the world that exists has to have a source. Every person has to have a source. The Vilna Gaon says that every single individual has a pasuk that applies to him specifically and that alludes to his name. So what's the source for Moshe Rabbeinu? Meaning, Moshe is essentially a spiritual person. He's somebody who goes up to Shemayim and he doesn't eat and he doesn't drink for 40 days, three times. You know, he's not of this world. So how do you, if man is essentially physical, where does Moshe come into the picture? So what you see from this give and take, without going into the Maharal's answer, is that a human being is this hybrid where you always have to ask, what is a person? Is it Tzuras Adam? Is he more Sula Mutzav Arza or Rosho Magia Shemayim? And the Sfas Emes says essentially he's both. And more than that, the Sfas Emes adds another point. He says, we also all go through both phases. There are times that we connect more to the earthly aspect of ourselves, and there are times that we connect more to the ruchni aspect of who we are. And he goes so far as to say that this is a constantly oscillating and interchanging dynamic in a human being. There is a pasuk that says as follows, Ki Yaakov bachar lo ka, Yisrael l'skulaso. Yaakov bachar lo ka. Hashem chose Yaakov. Bechira, the realm of free choice, of the struggle, of figuring out whether to do the right thing or the wrong thing, of the battle with the Yetzer Hara. That's the realm of Yaakov. It's Yaakov who fights the Malach of Esav. And then Yisrael Eskulaso. The victory at the end of the day is the Tzad Yisrael, says the Sfas Emes, when we are Kisarisa, when we dominate, when we win the fight, and we are at the top of the ladder. And the Sfas Emes says that every human being goes through two states. We all know how it feels, right? Remember that moment at the end of Yom Kippur where everybody in the shul is together in unison saying, Hashem hu Elokim. And people, I always think of that moment, you know, across the time zone that I'm in, whether they're more frum or they're less frum, and whether they go to shul every single day or every single week, they're all, at that moment, they're very real. Ba'asher husham, Hashem hu Elokim. And then there are times that we go through challenges, individually, nationally, we're at a lower level. The Sfas Emes says this is normal. It's not that Yaakov went up and he became Yisrael and that was it. Avram Avinu, after Avram became Avraham, the Gemara says it was also to call him by the name Avram. But Yaakov himself, even after he gets the name Yisrael, you're still allowed to call him Yaakov because the Torah himself calls him Yaakov. So every Jew goes through these two levels. But what's the secret? How do we get to the top of the Sula? How do we become Rosho Magia Shemayim? So I want to share with you the depth of an insight of the Sfas Emes here. The Sfas Emes told us that Yaakov is Yud Okev. Yud Okev. The letter Yud transposed onto the word Akev, which means heel. What does that mean? So to answer the question, I want to just take a step back. And I want to ask, what do we know about Yaakov? Is there a common theme that comes out of Yaakov's life? So let's start. And you know, unfortunately, a lot of what we learn sticks in our mind on the level that we learned it in Gan, in kindergarten. And we remain with that level for the rest of our lives, no matter how old we are. So one of the first things we learn, all my kids come home with the coloring pages. By the way, don't you love the depictions of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar? I don't know how they do it in London, but everybody in Yerushalayim has everybody in the Midbar with their payas and their stramos, you know. And like, this is how Klal Yisrael went. And the stomach of the Sephardi Chedorim have turbans. So I'm curious what the British have.
Cricket bats.
Yeah, cricket bats. I don't know. The truth is, my great grandfather came here in the late 19th century. I'm sure he was as shocked by all the differences in culture as I am. And my wife's family, I just found out last night that her great grandfather's name is on the cornerstone of the Munk's Shul, a card-carrying Ashkenazi descent Jew. So I don't know how the Chadarim here, three-cornered hats, wigs, powdered wigs, what they looked like in the Midbar, but, you know, in Yerushalayim, all the kids have strandles. So one of the things that we always depict is Yaakov Avinu goes to sleep. And it says, Vayikach me'avnei hamakom, he took from the stones of the place, Vayasa merashasa, and he put them around his head, and when he wakes up, it says, he took away the heaven, asher sam merashasa, he took away the stone that he put under his head. So there's an obvious question. You know, originally there were several. There were 12 stones, Chazal say. How did the 12 stones come on? So, of course, we learned in Gan, the stones had a fight. Each of the rocks said, Ola yoniach tzadikis roishoi, I want the tzadik to put his head on me. And they unified, and they became one. And that's how Yaakov woke up with one stone under his head. And then we go on and we read the next story and the next coloring page. What is that about? What is that? Like it was a covered war between the stones. Everybody wanted to be on the Mizrach wall. What was really happening here? So the answer is fascinating. What happens when Yaakov comes into contact with Rivoy, with Meni? You have different stones there. What happens? It wasn't a fight between the stones in the sense that each one wanted the cover. It was the opposite. When Yaakov comes into contact with Gashmis, what he does is he unifies everything. Yaakov is the power that takes all of the extremes and he unites them to create a single whole, not even a composite whole, but one unit from everything that was once many. That is the power of Yaakov. He's the power of many that becomes completely embodied in the one. You see this concept throughout the life of Yaakov. Yaakov gets to a be'er, basodeh. Normally, it takes a whole bunch of different people to take the stone off of the bear, off of the well in the field. Yaakov is able to galvanize all of his koichos, all of his powers, and he's able to do the work of many people and remove the stone alone. What does that mean? Again, it's the Yaakov touch. Yaakov has the power to take riboy, to take multiplicity, to take things that generally require different extremes, and he does them, and he unifies everything as to one thing, and he does it himself as once. There's an even more bizarre thing, and again, it's another thing that we learn in God. Yaakov gets into the fight of his life with the Malach. Right? The sorrow shall Esav, the alter ego of the Yetzer Hara, this angel that represents Esav. And Yaakov is alone, and he fights, and in the end, he gets his name Yisrael. How is Yaakov alone? Wasn't he with the whole Mishpacha? You know, traveling with the Mishpacha doesn't usually leave you alone. One of the nice things, you know, Baruch Hashem, come to London every once in a while, there's nothing like traveling. I love traveling with the Mishpacha, but after you've traveled with the Mishpacha and all the luggage, there's nothing like traveling without the Mishpacha and no luggage, right? It's 10 minutes from the plane to the curbside. I see some of you can identify this. So, you know, it's, whatever. It's nice to go with the family, but still. So Yaakov is without the Mishpacha. What happened? So Chazal say he went back to get small jars. Pachim kitan. Rabbeinu Shalom, Yaakov is a rich person. What did he get? So all the Sfarim HaKadoshim said, what did he do? He went back to get the Nitzotzos HaKadoshim, the sparks that were lost. What's pshat? So the answer, a pshuto that I heard from my Rebbe, is he literally went back to get small jars. Why? Because for Yaakov Avinu, there's nothing that's small. For a Yaakov Avinu, the whole world is one entity. And even a small unit has to be channeled in the proper direction and become part of Yaakov. If Yaakov owned Pachim Ketanim, it must have been for a purpose, and Yaakov had to go back and retrieve them. There's nothing he could leave behind. That's the theme of Yaakov. You have to unite absolutely everything, and nothing goes to waste. Al Derech Mashal, I once heard, a person, you know, pulls into a petrol station, and he's got a fantastic car, he has a Jaguar, and he's wearing his fancy clothes, his Ferragamo tie, his Gucci shoes, his Rolex, and he says to the guy, fill it up. So the person pumping, do you have self-service here in London?
Oh, yeah.
No. Oh, you do? Huh? No, is it like, you do have self-service? Okay. You know, in New Jersey, they don't allow you to have self-service, but so there are people who pump the gas. For those of you who don't know, I always go to the self-service lane, but they can do it for you if you pay a little more. So this person actually pulls in, someone pumps the gas for him, must have been in New Jersey, and he fills up the thing, and the individual pays for his gas, and he leaves, and a second after he's out of the gas station, he comes peeling back in reverse to the smell of burning rubber in his tires, and he comes out of the car with his fancy shoes and his suits, and he starts yelling at the guy pumping the gas. And he says, mate, you shortchanged me 2 pence. You shortchanged me 2 pence. You gave me too little change. So the guy pumping the gas says, I don't understand. You've got the car, you've got the tie, you know, you're a rich person. What do you care about an extra 2 pence that I forgot to give you? So the guy driving the car says, that's why you're pumping the gas and I'm driving the car. Because I understand the value of every single cent. And with me, nothing goes to waste. Lahavdil, with Yaakov Avinu, if Yaakov owned something, it had to go to a bigger purpose. Yaakov connected every extremity to Kedusha and nothing could go to waste. Al Derech Remez, you can't say it, you know, too explicitly. Chazal tell us, Yaakov Avinu mitaso shlema. Any koyach of Yaakov that could have become Klal Yisrael became Klal Yisrael. And no aspect of Yaakov went awry. This was the koyach of the Kedusha of Yaakov. Now we can return with his background about this power of Yaakov to unite all of the details to understand what this concept of Yud Akev is. Remember that the Sfas Emes told us that Yaakov is Yud Okev and Yisrael is Li Rosh. What is Yud Okev? So, Yud, let's define the terms. What is the letter Yud? The letter Yud in the Aleph Beis, each letter has a meaning. Sefer Yetzirah tells us, the Sfarim HaKadoshim. Yud is the smallest letter, it's the most subtle, it's the least physical letter. It's a letter that is associated with Kedusha, with holiness. Moreover, Yud is associated with the realm of thought. Rashi and Oz Yoshir says, Yud al Shem HaMachshava Nemra. Yud is said on thought. Grammatically, what happens when I add the letter Yud to a verb? I have halach. If I add the letter Yud to a verb, what have I done to it?
To the future.
Yelech. I have transformed it into the future tense. Rashi says, Yud al Shema Machshava Nemra, Yud is associated with thought, because the future exists only in my mind. It exists in the realm of thought. When I add Yud to a verb, I make it into future tense. So Yud represents Kedusha, it's the subtle realm of the spiritual, of thought. What is the Akev? The Akev is literally the heel. So Chazal tell us what the Akev is. The Akev is not the most flattering part of the body. It's what we all day long, we trot on the Akev. It's the thickest skin that we have. You can also step on a needle and sometimes barely feel it. It doesn't have much sensitivity. It's the deadest part of the body. Chazal, in Avos Rebbe Nosson, explained that with everything in the world, there's a parallel in the physical human being. And it goes through forests and trees and rivers, etc. And it says, in the world there's a Malach HaMoves, in the human being, there's an Akev. Meaning the parallel to the angel of death within a physical human being's stature is his Akev, is his heels. Well, what does that mean? It means that in the person, the physical individual, there's the intellect, there's the head. And the farthest extreme from the head in the vertical posture are the Akev. In other words, the most distant that you can get from Kedusha is the Akev. Now, people live in a state of dichotomy. very often their head brings them one place, and then their physical desires bring them somewhere else, and they don't live in a consistent manner. There's the Rosh and the Akev, and never the twain shall meet. But Yaakov was entirely different. The unique aspect of Yaakov is even when Yaakov had to engage in the physical world, not being in the realm of the ivory based medrash of Li Rosh, when Yaakov had to fight the Sarah Shel Esav, when he had to go into Haran, Yaakov was Yud Akev. The Yud, the Machshava, the thought, the intellect, the spirituality, permeated throughout Yaakov to the point that it got all the way down to his Akev. All of Yaakov became one person. And because of that ability to color every aspect of our life with Kedusha, Yaakov became Yisrael. This is the secret to being a Jew. Every single one of us is a Sulam Mutzav Arza V'roi Shemagia Hashamayma. Every single one of us lives in two worlds. We dance at two chasanas. Even if it doesn't matter if we work or we're in kolo, at the end of the day, we're living in a world where someone has to pay the bills. And we have to deal with the physical world. Plan A, where Esav would have supported us and our ivory-based medrash didn't work, and now we have to take care of everything ourselves. We have to deal with the physical realm and interact with it. But we also have to live with our head in the clouds, so that even the yid in the office, the yid at work, the yid on the tube, wherever we are, we have to be, even though we're the Sulam Mutzav Arza, we are Rosho Magia Hashemaima. I'll never forget a moment I had on the New York version of the tube. It's called the subway. Here I think a subway is something that you use to get under a street. But in the subway, the longest train in New York is the A train. It goes all the way from Washington Heights to Far Rockaway. So I was sitting once on the train, waiting to go downtown, and there was an old lady there sitting next to her husband, and apparently they were looking at me, and all of a sudden I hear, I see her poking him, and she sees me learning the Gemara, and she goes, "See, Harvey, at least somebody's keeping the faith." Like the concept of someone being on a train and learning Torah and being there in the physical world and still Rosh HaMagiyah Shemayim is foreign and it's been lost. But that's not who we are. We are people that on a workday come to the Torah way, and online, wherever we are, we can connect to a higher realm, and we remain connected to our Torah and our Revis, even in the workplace. That's who we are. The secret of being Yaakov Avinu is to understand that everything we have is a gift. Every pachim kitanim, every talent that we have, every potential that we have, there's nothing that's separate from my Judaism. It's not like I have different compartments and pigeonholes. I'm a musician, I'm Shomer Shabbos, I am a doctor, and I also like to golf or play cricket, I guess, the local equivalent. It doesn't work that way. Everything that I do connects. If I play cricket and it helps me learn Gemara, all the better. If I have a profession and it helps me raise my family, it's all for one thing. That is the sod, and that's what the Sfas Emes comes to tell us. In the realm of Bechira, we are Yaakov. It's Ki Bochar and Yaakov, Bochar Lo Yika, and that enables us to reach Yisrael L'Skula So. There'll be those moments of clarity in Kedusha, where we find ourselves at the top of the Sulam, as Yisrael, as Li Rosh, and we should savor those moments. But we also have to realize it's normal to oscillate. And there will always be an interchange and an interplay between those levels and the times when we're struggling with the physical world and we got to deal and we have to overcome challenge and we have to be mekadesh the chol and sanctify everything that's mundane. But if we do that, then we truly can be like Yaakov Avinu. We can be a sulam. We can be a sulam mutzav arza v'roishay magia hashemayma. By the way, I was asked to say, if you're interested, I give the Sfas Emes share every week in Yerushalayim. If you go to sfasemes.com, you can subscribe for free. A friend of mine, it's in English. I speak English also, even though I live in Medinat Israel, I'm also able to speak a little in English, even though I change my accent when I'm there. But
where is the share?
It's given in Sanhedrin Mechavet, sfasemes.com. This is not a financial thing, it's free. It's a pleasure to be here in London, and we should all be zeichet to be mekayim the Sulam Mutzav Arza V'roish Magia Hashamayim.
What's your name?
Shimon Bowden. Yeah, my wife's great grandfather, Hugo Lunzer.
Hugo Lunzer, I want to witness.
Jack Lanzer.
My grandfather's on there too.
Jack Lanzer's the son.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.